Okay, welcome everybody to the family chat hour for By Yahweh's Design here on the 22nd of February, year 2023. And we got a few of us on here. We're going to go ahead and start a little bit early. Charles is with us from Texas, and we're going to talk about his recent conversation with the Constitutional Sheriff Darlee from Michigan. And turn it over to you, Charles. Go ahead and tell us whatever you want to tell us about your conversation.
All right, Dan. Thank you. Let me get a few things in order here. We had a conversation today with a law scholar and a Bible scholar named Brent Winters. He's got webpage commonlawyer.com, I believe, is his webpage. And he's a very knowledgeable man. He's got, in some areas at least, he's got more knowledge than I do, and I'm willing to admit that. And Darlee looks to him for a lot of his legal scholarship and his biblical scholarship, apparently. A little bit disappointed on two grounds that Brent Winters likes to be the instructor and he likes everybody else to listen to him, it seems. I'm more into community building and working with other people as equals, and that didn't seem to be part of Brent Winters' agenda. And the other thing, what was it? I can't remember right now. I don't remember what the other issue was that he's real close to being a pacifist. I'm sure he wouldn't embrace those terms, but he likes to be in the theoretical realm and educating people. And when it comes time to actually start doing things to confront the agents of the evil empire, he's throttling back on that. So that was the second area of a little bit of apprehension that I had there. To shift gears a little bit over to Darlee is apparently getting summonses from local grand juries there for local prosecuting attorneys. And apparently somebody involved in the current election, a deputy from either the district attorney's office or the attorney general's office was working with Darlee, and they removed one of the electronic vote counting machines to do an inspection on it. And that really upset a different member of the prosecuting attorney's office. I forget, maybe there's conflict between the district attorney and the attorney general or something. I'm not sure of how the undercurrents are flowing there, but apparently Darlee is working closely with this lady that's in one part of either the district attorney or attorney general's office, and she removed the voting machine to do an audit on it. And Darlee thinks that she was acting honorably and that there was some problems with the vote counting there. And there's conflict there. There's actionable items there. And I did a little bit of a brief follow-up call with Darlee on that issue, and I think there was at least one other issue that we discussed that we might be able to work more closely on without the necessary involvement of Brent Winters or anything, and maybe in just casual conversation with him on occasion about him. But so I'm optimistic that there's opportunity for working with Darlee, even if I won't get to be much more than a student with Brent Winters. I yield.
Did you guys happen to talk about the incident here in Vero Beach, Florida, where Susanna was visited by two men posing as sheriff's deputies, and yet the sheriff's department, when they contacted them later, said that they didn't send them? And as far as they know, those people were there on their own. Did you happen to mention that to Dar and see what his opinion of that was?
No. I probably should have in my second phone call more private with him, but he was pretty busy. That is an important concern. And Darleaf is not our law expert. He's coming to us to learn how to respond to law issues, concerns like what you're voicing there. I'm sure his counsel would be good, but I would feel inspired just to respond by saying that I think one of the most prioritized concerns at this point would be to ask for the sheriff's words there verbally to be inserted in writing, because they may be lying. And it's good to make a paper trail of their denial that was a sheriff's deputy that was involved in that. And when it comes time to put it into writing, they might change the story. So anyway, that's my gut instinct of the first step to take in response to that situation there. I agree.
Well, the concern is that even if they're lying, you've got a problem. Okay, so either the sheriff and the sheriff's office is full of liars, or you've got rogue cops coming out to a person's home, or people pretending to be sheriff's deputies coming to a home. So there's an issue no matter which way you go. And that's, I was just curious as if he's heard of that kind of thing happening up in Michigan or any other states or any other sheriffs talking about it. It's not a question about what to do about it, just simply, first of all, to see if there's a trend, and number two, if there is a trend, make sure the word gets out to people to be very careful.
Mm-hmm. I didn't think to try to raise that issue with him, Dan. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's all right. But if you would make note of that, so that if you're talking to him in the near future, bring that up so that we can, get to the bottom of that. We need to get to the bottom of that one way or the other and find out if there's a trend going on here or if it's a once-in-a-lifetime shot and it's just going to be over, et cetera. But,
yeah. If I might, I would really like to try to bring you in closer in this developing relationship I've got with Darleaf. Would it be possible for you, me, and Dar to try to engineer a conference where just the three of us talk for 20 minutes or an hour or whatever, sometime in the future?
Oh, I'm open to talk to anybody that wants to talk about what's going on. Certainly anybody in a position like he's in. I want to support him and encourage any of the relationships from our good sheriffs down to the men of the posses and of the militia, which are just your citizen soldiers. He needs to know we're not troublemakers and we're not violent people. We're just like the people that founded this country. Okay. We're basically the guys that just want to be left alone.
Yeah.
But we have a communist insurgency going on. Lots of platforms are now admitting that. So we need to get something going here to counteract what these communists are doing. I mean, this is a full-scale takeover. They're in your face. They're not even trying to hide it anymore.
Right.
So the demons have been let out of the abyss. and they're going crazy. And so far, I haven't seen any resistance. There may be some at an individual level and maybe small local levels, but not a general overthrow. But there is some signs of that changing. I got a call today from one of the young men that I've met down here from Miami, and he's a very outspoken, very articulate young man, about 30 years old, and he grew up down here, and he knows lots of people all over the state, and many of them are people that work for the state government. And he told me today that there is a grassroots uprising, if you will, over these large BlackRock Zionist corporations that are buying up all the farmland down here and turning them into condos and apartments. And they know that these are intended to house these illegals that are coming in here by the millions. And so there is a grassroots effort starting to build in South Florida to take these people to task, to start going to the meetings and calling them out for their treason. And who the hell do they think they are, selling our prime farmland to these multinational corporations or building these housing units to house illegals?
Yeah.
So that was encouraging. So as I get more information on that, I'll share it. I yield.
Sounds great, Dan. Yeah, I see a lot of good others here. Floor's open, everybody, I'm sure.
Yeah, it is. I think I got everybody unmuted. Oh, I missed Curtis, so he's unmuted. And, okay, everybody's unmuted, unless they're muted themselves. I think Ella's got her mute button on her local device. So, but the floor is open. If anybody has any questions about what we've talked about so far, or if they've got something new they want to share with everybody. Don't be shy. Come on.
I'll talk.
There we go. Thank you, Melissa.
Last week when I was talking about the chemicals in women's hair products and such, after I got done talking and I was listening, I was also thinking, and I remembered that one time I got a book from the thrift store, soap making book. So I started going through my books and I found it. So I learned a few things this week. I learned what tallow is. It's beef fat in a lot of soap and shampoo. You can even make candle wax with it. I also learned that a pound of tallow is a lot bigger than a pound of hamburger, because I ordered 4 pounds from the butcher, and when I went and picked it up, it was a very, very large amount. So me and my granddaughter are going to try to make, our first project is soap this weekend. And I'll let you all know if it's a Pinterest fell or not.
There's a reason for the size difference. We learned that in our holistic medicine classes. Your muscles are much more dense than fat. And that's why if you're losing weight and getting in shape, you may be losing inches, but you might not see the scale change that much, because as you convert that fat to muscle, you could actually go up in weight a little bit because of the fact that muscle is much more dense than fat. So a lot of people don't know that. They think fat's very heavy, but fat is actually lighter and less dense than muscle. So that's the reason for that. I yield.
I had to have a scale, a kitchen scale. So I went to the thrift store. I got me a kitchen scale and quite a few other things that I needed. Well, I think everything except for a big wooden spoon, because I don't want to use my cooking wooden spoon. But I'm kind of excited because after the soap, if that does well, I'm going to try the shampoo. And there's even a thing in there for dog shampoo and candy. So I'm trying to get back to the basics. I think it'd be fun. And like I said, I'll share it with you and let you know how it worked out.
Yeah, everything we do to become more independent is going to be beneficial. And that's the other thing I have noticed here lately, that the there are more people looking into this. So I just got a flyer from the GeoShip people, which are people learning how to make these geodesic dome homes that are made out of materials that won't rot and you don't get termites and are very eco-friendly, etc. And they're taking investors and they don't want the big Jew corporations to invest. They want just regular old people to invest so that when this thing takes off and becomes public, that they're the ones that make the 1,000% or 10,000% gains on their investment as this thing grows. So I thought that was pretty interesting. So there is a growing interest in smaller homes, much more eco-friendly, much more energy efficient. Some of the designs are almost off-grid type places, to where it would take very little to heat them, very little to cool them, and to provide light. I mean, you could literally pretty much live in them comfortably and be off-grid. So that's picking up. Activism is picking up. The JQ, which we all know stands for the Jewish question, the JQ is being talked about by major contributors like Paul Craig Roberts. Gerald Celente has been talking about it. Let's see, I think Greg Hunter and his guest, Martin Armstrong, even talked about it. There were several other major economics experts and historians that were talking about it in the last couple of days. So, and they tiptoe around it. They're not as in-your-face about the JQ as we are, but just the fact that they would mention the influence of these Zionists in our world and what they're doing, and that the neocons, one of the guys was doing an expose on the fact that it's the neocons that are pushing for war in Ukraine, and that the neocons are Zionists. So, you know, people are starting to lose their fear about talking about our mutual enemy and the instigators of much of the things that are going wrong in our world today. I yield. Was that you, Jennifer? Did you have something you wanted to say?
No, I'm kind of falling asleep already. I've got the heater on and my biomat. I'm on top of it, so I'm just listening. I wanted to hear if Ella has something to say.
Floor is open, Ella.
Can I say something?
Yay!
I just having a bite. I was having a bite to eat and I was afraid to say something because I'd spit all over the place. Anyway, I'm wondering, has anybody else's weather been really weird? I woke up being about last night, 89 degrees in the house.
89?
You broke up. Ellie, hold on a minute. Hold on a minute.
89 in my house morning.
Okay, we got to have one person at a time, and if you're not talking, please mute because we're getting background interference. Ella, your transmission was breaking up, so we did not understand exactly what you said, so could you repeat it, please?
Well, last night I went to bed, and it was about 40 degrees out, between 40 and 50, I think, about 42, 43. And I did not set any heater or air conditioning or anything on because I've been waking up and it's been about anyway between 40 and 45, 50 degrees. This morning I woke up, it was 89 degrees in my house. And I was wondering if anybody else is having a weird weather. It's well, nice that the skies opened and water came down just endlessly all night.
You mean it was raining?
It rained from like about 2 o'clock in the morning until about 7 or 8 o'clock this morning. And when I woke up this morning, I was terribly uncomfortable. So I got up, looked at the thermostat. It was 89 degrees in here.
Yeah, that's pretty bizarre. I do know South Florida, we're going through another series of being warmer than normal. This is our winter. This is usually when people love living in South Florida, when we have the dry air and temperatures come down into the 50s and 60s, that it's usually beautiful here. But lately, during the day, you almost got to put the air on. The sun is very hot. It heats up your house very quickly. It's not normal. Let's put it that way. I don't know if I'd call it bizarre, but it's certainly not what the norm is. I yield.
Yeah, this is Jennifer. Last week we got a foot of snow, and it didn't melt until like 3 days ago. It was last Wednesday when we got it. And then today we had supposedly up to 70 mile an hour winds, and their branches in our park are blowing to pieces and everything. And so somebody went down there this afternoon and started cutting the branches off because they're flying everywhere. So I don't know. There is strange weather going on all over New Mexico lately.
Wow. Yeah, Cody had it put in that he's got something he wanted to say. Go ahead, Cody.
Well, first, I'd like to comment on the biomat. We have a biomat. My wife uses it quite often, and she falls asleep quite often as well on the biomat.
Uh-huh.
And the second comment. Are you still there?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, so that has been removed from the queue. Anyway, the second comment is it's definitely the weather is odd, and it's 100% they're screwing with the weather. It's HARP. Without a doubt, mm-hmm. They're screwing with the weather. Plain and simple.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I remember I interviewed a guy that wrote a book, Angels Don't Play That Harp, and he was one of the first whistleblowers that was identifying the high frequency active auroral research project. That's what HARP stands for. And at that time, we only knew of three large facilities in the world, one of them up in Alaska, and then there were two other ones. And these were gigantic, well, big, let's put it that way, big acreage-wise fields and fields and fields of these antenna that were being powered by their own power station. That's how powerful they were. They didn't get their electricity from the power company. They had their own power station. And they were beaming microwave energy up into the ionosphere, even back then. So that's 45 years ago. So, and technology then that we were becoming aware of, obviously, was already around for decades. So messing with our weather is something that they have bragged about. So it's not a stretch to think that they are doing things to make us uncomfortable, to get people to move out of one area into another, etc. You know.
Well, yeah. I believe there's actually 8 stations now around the world or wherever they're at. And what they're doing right now is they're saying, well, it's global warming. It's, you know, your combustion engines. It's, you know, too many people on the earth and blah, blah, blah. When it's real, you know, we got to do this. You have to have an electric vehicle now, which is complete bullshit. And basically, they're just using, they're the ones that are causing the problem, not us. And they're trying to make, the majority of the people are, you know, oh my God, you're right, yeah, blah, 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 which is complete bullcrap, you know. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, the only thing we know for sure is that they're lying to us. So virtually everything that's being talked about, I don't know if you guys saw the video with that Navy, I believe he was a Navy admiral. He had a bunch of ribbons on his chest. Of course, most of those ribbons are for show, by the way. I was in the military. Most of those ribbons are just to make him look important. They're like a third world country where you see medals hanging all over the guy, and yet he's a douchebag. Well, same thing with our military. We guys like that, they give him all these ribbons, and half of them are just because he participated in something or whatever. And so everybody sees all that, and they think he's a highly decorated guy. Well, this guy's being interviewed about what's going on in Ukraine, and he admits that he barely got through college history curriculum in college, and he's trying to tell people that Russia is to blame for what's going on in Ukraine, but the guy in the audience is interviewing him, and he's basically telling him that, well, no, we're encroaching on Russia. We promised Russia many years ago that we would not expand NATO, and the Ukraine is not part of NATO, so why are we interfering? Well, they don't have a right to invade a sovereign nation. Hey, Admiral, what the hell do you think we did in Iraq, Afghanistan, Libya, Serbia? We have invaded other sovereign nations for false information, like weapons of mass destruction. We've been doing that for decades. But we're going to go to World War III because Russia defended some Russian people in the eastern part of Ukraine. I mean, it was so obvious this guy was a complete retard, and all he could do is keep repeating the same garbage that the Zionist think tanks give our military commanders to regurgitate when they're being interviewed, because the guy couldn't think on his feet. I mean, he was an idiot. To think that we have commanders in our military this stupid and unable to hold an intelligent conversation, all they can do is regurgitate propaganda that's given to them by some Zionist outfit or the Mossad. I mean, that's a scary thought. Everybody thinks we have this highly motivated, well-disciplined, and great military. How do you respect and go into battle with guys this stupid? I know I wouldn't. I wouldn't have any faith in a commander like that. I'd say, put me in the brig, put me in jail, but I'm not going to go fight for an idiot like this. So, I don't know. We're in trouble. I mean, you know, I talked to the guys here at Homestead Air Force Base. It's an air base, air reserve base, I should say, and there's some Marines there, too. But some of the guys that come into the American Legion all work down there. So I talked to them, and I remember the one guy told me, he said, yeah, I got a letter just the other day that says when Air Force guys come in dressed in a woman's uniform or women come in dressed in a man's uniform, I have to accept them. I thought he was kidding, and he said, no, I got an actual memo that says that's what I have to do. So,
that's,
I mean,
funny because...
Yeah, go ahead, Cody.
It was funny because I was actually getting water from a spring not too long ago, and I was talking to an old Vietnam vet, and I was talking to him about how the military is today. You know, you got the trannies and the women, and, you know, they're painting their nails and this and that. And he said, well, I don't care what the heck what they think or how what they believe, as long as they got my back. And I was like, are you freaking kidding me? I mean.
Well,
you know, really?
Okay, I'm going to give a little story here. This is a personal story from in the family. My great uncle was a lieutenant in World War I, and he was in the trenches in France, which was ugly. That was very ugly. My dad tells me when he was a young man that his name was Uncle Brownie. When Uncle Brownie would come home on leave or after the war, he would almost never talk about what he saw in France because it was that ugly and that disturbing. He said the only story that I know Uncle Brownie told me about was the day when he was a lieutenant and he found the two queer guys in his trench. And I said, really? And he goes, yep. And I said, well, what did you do? He said, well, the military at that time had a standard policy. If you find homosexuals in your unit, you strip them of all identification, you strip them of all their gear, you give each of them a pistol with 6 rounds in it, and you blow the whistle and send them over the top towards the German trenches by themselves. I said, well, they wouldn't get very far before they got killed. And my dad said, yep, that's the point. Now, they did that for a couple reasons. A lot of people go, well, that's terrible. Well, you're in combat. The reason you don't put women in combat is because men do stupid things when women are involved. Either they're in a flirtatious relationship or there's jealousy, or sometimes the men will do things against orders because they're trying to help or save the women. In other words, let's say a woman got trapped behind the enemy lines and you need to do something else to save the unit. Well, some guys might try to get her and save her, where if it was a guy, they would just say, well, that's a loss. We can't jeopardize the whole unit. You see what I'm saying? That's why you don't put women in combat. Well, when you have two homosexuals, you've got the same problem because you have an emotional attachment. There could be jealousy. There could be envy. There could be other issues going on because you got a relationship thing going on here, and it upsets the other guys. So their way of handling it was you just send them over the top, because back then in the early 1900s, if people in your community found out you were a homosexual, there was great shame. And so in order to save face, they died in action. They were killed in action. So their honor was not besmirched, and it took care of the problem. And he said, Brownie also said that every now and then you'd see two Germans coming at the American and British lines by themselves, and everybody knew what was going on. And the same thing happened to them. So that is how serious they took this back then, because back then they still understood basic nature and logic. The United States is one of the few countries in the world that has held on to this totally ridiculous idea that women can be in combat units. A lot of the other countries that started down that road have stopped it and gone back the other way. And I think you'll notice that the Russian military and the Chinese military doesn't do that. Okay? Because they're not stupid. We are stupid, but they're not stupid. If they go to war, they plan on winning the war. We're just going to put on a show. We're going to show how woke we are, how liberal we are, how equalistic we are, egalitarian we are. But winning the war is not very important. It's more important that we show that we can identify with the trannies and the queers and soy boys and all that. And then we think we're going to win a war. We're going to get our asses kicked, is what I'm trying to tell you. So you can't win a war when you've got that kind of mental illness amongst your troops. It's hard enough to win a war when you got everybody on the same team, thinking the same way, rowing the boat in the same direction. If you got half the people that don't even know what gender they are, they don't know what uniform to put on that day, they don't know where their loyalties lie, or you've got effeminate men and women in there that don't know how to throw a hand grenade far enough away that you don't kill your own people. We literally have that problem. I don't know if anybody here knows that or not. They have reduced the requirement for how far you have to be able to throw a hand grenade so that the weak men and the females can still qualify to be in our military, because they can't throw it. They can't throw I forget what a hand grenade weighs, 3 or 4 pounds, and they can't throw it very far. So, I mean, do you want to be in combat? I don't. I'm not going to fight with guys like that. I'd rather either get shot or go to jail, but I'm not going to go out and fight with people like that because I'm going to die anyway, probably from a friendly fire bullet in my back, because these idiots probably don't even know how to put a safety on a weapon. I mean, it's ridiculous. The things that are going on today is completely and utterly retarded.
Well, I really think that they're definitely targeting the United States, and that's why they're doing that. They've destroyed our military and a lot of other things in this country, and I think they're doing it on purpose, because I think we're like the crown jewel. You know, they got to have the United States, I believe. I don't know what, you know, why. Maybe that's another discussion, maybe, but they're definitely targeting the United States.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're the big domino to fall. Once the United States is taken out of the way, then who's going to stop the New World Order after that? So, obviously, we got a big target on our back. Big, big target. Who do we have out in Midland? Is that Curtis?
Yes, it's Curtis. How you doing?
Okay, very good. I haven't heard from you in a while, bud.
Yeah, it's been a while. Hey, I heard that Matt Hall's mom passed on, and that's sad. She passed on in a nursing home. I just got a message on the email.
Oh, John and I were just talking about that. John Crookston has been trying to help Matt Hale's family and Evelyn to get him out of jail for years. And he just told me that she was not doing well. So you're saying just since the other day, then she has actually passed?
Yes, she's passed on. Yes.
Oh, geez. Okay. And then Matt's still stuck in solitary confinement, and he never even committed a crime. Being an advocate for the white race, that's his big crime.
Well, I do know that they let him out of solitary confinement. They moved him to another location, so he's out of solitary confinement.
What, after, 15 years, they finally let him out?
Yeah, after 15 years, finally they let him out.
Good grief. So did they move him to another facility or just another place within the same system?
Another prison in Colorado.
Oh, I thought he'd been in Colorado for a while. No, wait a minute. Oh, no, I'm thinking of somebody else. Okay, yeah. There's another guy I know. He's in Texas. But Matt has been... I thought Matt's been in Colorado for a while. You're saying another facility in Colorado?
Yeah. Larry's in Abilene. And he's doing... I sent him a book. So he's doing all right.
Oh, right.
I get letters from him every month or so.
Okay, good.
I hope that we get some letters to both Matt and Larry, and that people give their time and, send a letter or a postcard or something every now and then.
Yeah. I wrote to Matt, but it's been probably over a year ago. I wrote to Matt and got a nice letter back from him, and I usually write to Larry very often, but lately here I've been pretty bad about getting a letter off to him. So, now he had some health issues not too long ago. Has he still got them, or is he doing pretty good?
I got a letter from him about a week ago. I haven't opened it up and read it, but he doesn't read it. He doesn't write as much as he used to. So I get he writes about once a month now. So he must not be doing too good in health wise.
Yeah, it could be. He's supposed to come up for parole here pretty soon, I think.
Yeah. Good to hear.
Yeah. Now, Larry. Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to let the folks know Larry is the nephew of Willie Martin. Willie Martin from Texas that we used to have on our show quite often, actually. A prolific identity writer and researcher. Willie was a good guy, really good guy. But go ahead, Curtis. You were going to say something.
Oh, yeah. They don't feed them very well in prison either. So you have to pay for everything in prison. So if anybody could send some type of $5 every now and then or something to help with his food and shoes or something he needs. The prisons don't allow them to buy. You have to buy everything there, and it's very, very expensive and very hard for the prisoners. And you know how Matt Hogg was treated. They put him in prison for solitary confinement for 15 years. They did whatever they wanted. So it's really, if there's somebody in identity that's there, just keep that in mind. I just want to get that out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
What prison is he in Colorado?
Oh, I got that. I'll give it on the. I'm on my cell phone, but I got
yeah,
his.
So am I. I was just curious because I work in the corrections myself, and I was just curious as to what prison he was in Colorado.
You can go to my website.
That's
yeah, go to my website. The prisoner of war, the POW prisoner of war page has got both Larry and Matt Hale's mailing address there. So PastorDan.net. PastorDan.net. Go ahead.
Yeah, just got to keep it in mind that Matt, he does a lot of work for identity, and he uses his legal knowledge to get the word out to help other people in identity who might be put in prison. You know, have the word out that they can't push it around. So he has used his education and his legal knowledge to help a lot of other people indirectly. So I just wanted to bring that up.
Okay.
But the
very good.
Nature of my call was about Serbia. I was really, of all the places that was attacked and invaded, Serbia made me the most upset from Conrad Bill Clinton, because Serbia was trying to keep the Muslims out. They were against mass immigration. And the United States, was bombing a country that was trying to keep Europe from being overrun by immigrants. And America did all they can to weaken it so it could be overrun by immigrants. Same thing with Libya. And same thing, how their relationship with Italy. So the attack on Serbia was about the most heinous thing that I ever could imagine. But that was my point on that.
Mm-hmm.
I'll let y'all carry on and have the social hour. I want to say that I just want to do my part to help give some input to the social hour to help everybody just kind of talk and have a good night.
All right, very good. If you would, Curtis, just mute yourself. That way, if you have something you want to say, you can unmute yourself. Do you know how to do that?
Let's see if I can. Is it star 6? Yeah.
I think it is star 6. Yeah. Maybe not. Oh, I don't hear anything, so maybe it does work. So anybody else on a phone know if it is star 6? I think it is star 6.
It should be just a mute button on your phone. You can just press the mute button and it'll mute you.
Yeah, I think, it depends on each person's phone, I guess. I don't know. Some people seem to have the same buttons we do, and some people don't. But if I do mute you, it's because my board here, I see the indicators when it says somebody's talking. So if there's background noise coming through enough to make my board light up, then that's why I'm muting some of you from time to time. That doesn't mean I don't want you to say anything. It just means that I'm trying to keep the background noise level down so the rest of us can hear what people have to say. So the floor is open. Does anybody have any other issues or current events they want to talk about, report, concerns about?
Report.
Yep, go ahead, Cody.
I can report to you that if you have a smartphone, like right now I'm talking, if a green light comes up in your... Or the right top right-hand corner, they're kind of spying on you right now. Because I've been looking at it right now, and if I put the phone on mute, the green light goes away. But right now I'm talking, and the green light is on. So just be aware that they are listening to you.
Believe that.
What's that, Melissa?
I believe that.
Well,
right now there's a green light right now as I'm speaking. So you can believe it because that's happening.
Now, I will make you aware of something, that in free conference call, it's a lot like Zoom, and if the program picks up an audio signal, whether you're saying something or it's background noise, it'll put a green triangle, or not a triangle, but a green rectangle around your name and phone number on my screen, just like now. I'm talking, so I've got a green box around me. When Cody was talking, he has a green box around you. It could be that's the phone's equivalent to what I've got on my screen. I'm just saying. That is the way.
No, because, and I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I have an iPhone, and I know my phone has been tapped for years because my ex-husband had to go in front of the grand jury because our phones was tapped. And I know exactly what he's talking about because I've seen it on my phone, and my grandson has even made remarks about my phone and conversations that he's had odd things when he's talked to me on the phone. So, and I've seen that green light on my phone before, and I've wondered about it. So that's why I'm like, yeah, now I know that's what it is.
Okay. Very, well, it's better to be safe than sorry. So I always assume they're listening anyway, whether there's anything showing up on my phone or not. I learned that a long time ago. If you're talking on a phone or you're sending anything out over electronic media, if you guys remember when Trump was running, the word was out on the street that Trump sends nothing important over electronic media. Whether computer, cell phones, you name it, he won't send anything out. Everything that's important, whether it's business or whatever that he does personally, he does it by personal carrier. He pays to have somebody actually fly or drive or whatever with an envelope and does it the old-fashioned way. So that should tell you a lot right there. I mean, somebody at his level doesn't trust anything in the electronic world, which Bill Binney, by the way, who used to work for the NSA and helped set up a lot of their spying stuff, has even said that. The NSA has captured virtually everything electronic and stored it all in these massive computer storage centers like the one they built out there in the Midwest. Thing is huge. Now, think about this. If you can store 2 terabyte of information on a little thumb drive, can you imagine what they're storing in these buildings? I mean, acres and acres of buildings full of modern technology. Literally, every phone call, every email, everything anybody sends out there, they save it all. They save it all.
Go ahead. I think there's one in Brussels called the Beast, and what they do is it's set up to trigger like different words and stuff like that, and it pops up, oh my gosh, this guy may be a terrorist or whatever, blah blah blah.
Yeah, well, we don't have privacy anymore, so people need to be aware of that. Floor is open. Any other issues? Charles, Ralph, anybody? Ella? Anybody got any issues?
I'd like to jump in on the security and privacy issue.
Sure.
It's my belief that people can do end-to-end encryption with their emails. And Donald Trump does some things that are designed to mislead us. I don't think merely because Donald Trump is acting like he's so concerned about people spying on him that the highest, the most effective resources available with his billions of dollars is to go by snail mail and paper envelopes and stuff. The computer technology is available to send messages in complex encryption codes that it will take the best supercomputer on Earth 10 years to break a simple message. And that makes it totally impractical. It's not reasonably possible for them to decrypt messages like that, at least in a realistic time frame. So I don't think that we need to be quite so paranoid about it in terms of, well, yes, if we're not using encryption technology where we can encrypt our phone calls and our messages, yeah, there is a concern there. But as we advance, we're going to get more technologically capable. And it doesn't matter. Yes, they do have those massive computer farms that do store massive amounts of data. But when that massive amount of data is in an encryption form, they can't just plug and play and grab that piece of data and play it. They got to also decipher it. And at least if you're using the encryption technology. So the tools are at our fingertips. If we had a budget and things like that, we'd all be doing, well, Proton Mail. Proton Mail is already doing encryption back and forth. That's at least one real good roadblock, is to start using Proton Mail or other email programs that are capable of doing that kind of encryption. So I just wanted to draw that point out. I yield.
Yeah.
I have a question about the Proton Mail. If it's on your phone, then is it private? If you have Proton Mail on your phone, is it going to be private? Because I don't have it on my phone. I have it on my computer, but I've thought about that. Is it private if it's on your phone?
It's encrypted even if it's on your phone. And so whoever's spying on you on your phone, I recognize that phones are probably more vulnerable to spying and snooping than our computers. But either way, if you're just sending emails through your phone or your computer, and you're doing it through the Proton Mail email service, then you're using encryption. And if your other person on the other end is also a Proton user, boom, you guys, I do believe you guys have private emails at that point. That's reasonably safe.
Yep, I was going to say, when I got my Proton account, they made it very clear that the double-ended encryption is only if it's Proton Mail to Proton Mail. If the one person is not Proton Mail, then only half of the communications encrypted and part of it is not. That's what they say. Now, the other thing, remember, Proton Mail is out of Switzerland. So it depends on how comfortable you are that the Swiss are telling us the truth. I don't know. Like I said, my thing that I tell people is, no matter what you're using, use a code within a code. Just like people that I'm personal friends with, we have certain words that mean something to us that nobody else knows. Within my family, we have words that we use between each other that nobody else knows. So even though you intercept our note, you may not know exactly what we're telling each other, because we have a family or a friend code that we use to tell each other things that would not be apparent to anybody else. that's the safest code that you can have because you're in control of it. So there's even one form of doing it is you buy a pocket dictionary and give your friend the same exact copy of that pocket dictionary, and all you do is send page, column, and item number off that dictionary, send it. There's no way anybody can break it. How can they break it?
It almost sounds like sending an old-fashioned letter. It's almost the best way these days. it's kind of funny to say that, but no one does it anymore. But a good old-fashioned, you know, letter in the mail.
You're probably safer doing that than the electronic version. Again, if you've got, PNP or whatever, PGP encryption was put out. The guy that invented it made it free for everybody because the government wasn't going to pay him or something like that. He invented this encryption. But you've got to have what they call keys for the sender and the receiver. You have to have the key to unlock the message. And it was too complicated, so they never used it. So I don't know anybody that actually is using it anymore. It wasn't really that complicated, but most people, they can't handle technology very well, especially computer technology. So I don't know if anybody's using it or not, but like I said, something that is easy to do between friends and family and anybody you want to have some kind of privacy is come up with your own system of code. It'd be very difficult to break it unless somebody betrays you or whatever. I mean, most of us aren't going to be sending anything that's of any value to anybody anyway. Not at the moment. It's not like we're part of a military unit and we've got troops on the move or staging ammunition and hardware somewhere. I mean, so anyway, word to the wise, they have all kind of snooping ability. And if you're not taking steps of some kind, just know that people are probably taking a peek. They may not be, but it's also very possible that they are. So just keep that in mind. Floor is open. Anybody else got something?
Dan, you made a comment earlier, and I'm sorry, I don't know how to raise my hand on this.
You just click on Ask Question.
Mine's just showing, like, after you call somebody and it has the number and the mute keypad speaker.
Okay. Well, then that pretty much just leaves jumping in when you get an opportunity.
And again, I apologize, but I can't figure out how to do it. I don't see it. You've made a statement earlier that we're in trouble, and you know, I feel the world is in trouble. And of course I worry about my grandchildren and my family. But I really don't feel that I'm in trouble. I feel blessed, and I don't know. I just don't feel. I feel the world is in very bad shape, and a lot of people are in trouble. But I don't feel that I am. I feel I'm not agitated with this stuff.
Well, you know which team you're on. So when I say the world's in trouble, the world of the believer stays pretty much the same. I sleep very good at night. I don't lay awake worrying about what's going on out there. But I'm also quite aware of how this country is sliding down the slippery slope. Now, where you're at, I'm not sure what the situation is. But here in the southern tip of Florida, I'm living in a third world. There's very few white people left here. You hear Spanish is the most spoken. You'll hear some Creole spoken and some Haitian, okay? But mostly it's Spanish. If you don't speak Spanish, you're looked at like there's something wrong with you. There's gunshots out of the neighborhoods. Probably about every 2 to 3 days, you'll hear 5, 6, 7, 8 shots, obviously from pistols or short-barreled rifles. Commonplace down here. Commonplace down here. Drug and gang violence, commonplace. So just since 2008, when I moved down here, the demographics and the violence and the general society, like you go into a big box store here, you're not going to see any white people working in it. None. The manager in the last year or two, for sure, the manager almost always will be black. The assistant manager will either be a Latino or black. Most of the clerks today are black, not even Hispanics. They're black. Ever since that initiative came out, and even Trump supported that. Okay, he was all about black and browns getting all kind of handouts and employment. And what happened to white America? Well, I can tell you what happened to white America, because down here it's already happening. You can't get a job down here. Literally, as a white man, you can't get a job down here unless you speak Spanish. So in America today, I can't work in the area of Miami because I don't speak fluent Spanish. I know two people that are two nurses and another person that was in the education system 10 years ago in Homestead were fired from their positions because they would not learn Spanish. That's America today. And even 10 years ago, it was going on here. So I'm living in an area where the rest of the country is headed. I'm ahead of you because the invasion is already underway here, right now. Yes, that doesn't mean...
Go ahead, Cody.
Well, I was going to say, it doesn't mean that I'm at odds with every single person. I make a lot of friends, and I have people who are Hispanics and blacks that I'm friends with here. It doesn't mean every one of them is a criminal or a gangster or whatever. But I'm just saying, what do you think this country is going to be like when we're the minority? Because like I said, right here, right now, there's prejudice against white English-speaking people in this area right here. You can't get a decent job in this area unless you're bilingual and speak their language. Now, they'll hire you if you only speak Spanish. I've been to a lot of stores where that's the only thing they speak. So you can't get service. You can't get somebody to fix your car. You can't go into a car dealership. You can't go into a restaurant because they all speak Spanish in America.
Yeah, I'll reiterate what he's saying, but this is something that really it pisses me the frick off, is we're being disenfranchised in our own frickin' our country that, you know, the North America that the white man founded, you know, when we came over from Europe, you know, about, you know, and the abdication of the white man specifically, and it's all by design. They're flooding this country with non-whites, and it's just freaking disgusting, and it angers the hell out of me. And they make it now, you can't say anything about it. Oh my gosh, you're a racist, you're a freaking, you know, terrorist, you're a bigot, and blah blah blah. It just pisses me off. It's like, no, listen, this is our country. This is not the black man's country, or the freaking, you know, Arabian or Hispanic or whatever. This is our country, and it's just, and a majority of these white people just accept, like, oh my gosh, you know, love everybody, blah blah blah, which is complete and utter freaking bullshit. Meanwhile, they're raping, pillaging, they're taking your jobs away from you, and further down the spiral and into the freaking the abyss our country goes. And the majority of the white people, they don't give a shit. Well, you know, I don't care, whatever, as long as I can, you know, I got my job, you know, I got beer in the fridge, I can watch the damn freaking football game, and I'm being light here. I'll say I can go full blast, but basically, yeah, it's just disgusting. It really is. Everyone's all, you know, hunky-dory, and, you know, you got to treat these people with respect. Now, right now, it's February, right? We've got Black History Month, blah, 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 blah. And then they put that in their face everywhere you go. Oh, Black History, Black History. I just got back from Kentucky. I was down there visiting my daughter in Kentucky, and I went to Kentucky's full of caves, right? You know, different caves and stuff like that. So, you know, whatever. I went to a cave, you know. I like going exploring caves and stuff like that. And there was Black history there. Down in freaking Kentucky, of all places. And it's just, like, they just freaking put it in your face and you just keep beating it into your damn head. And I'm freaking sick and tired of it. I yield.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one thing, again, if you read Thomas Chittum's book, Civil War II, The Coming Breakup of America, he was from New Jersey, Cody's from New York, but he wrote that book back in 1995, and I read it, and I interviewed him right away for that book, and so much of what he predicted in that book has come true, so... There's electronic versions of the book available if somebody has a hard time getting it. It's not a very big book, but he based it all on his own experience in the United States military in three different campaigns, all out of the country, of course, over in, I think, the Middle East, and there might have been one in part of Africa, but over in the Near East and Middle East. He was in three different campaigns where countries went from being civilized to total anarchy, and he lived through it, and that's why he wrote the book, because he recognizes the trends that were in those countries, and he's warning Americans that we're headed the same way. He currently lives in Canada, and I think his health is extremely poor right now. So... it was his way to it's just a wake-up call, because everywhere in the country is not the same. That's obvious. And as Melissa said, I've got friends all over the country, and some of them up in Canada tell me all the time, because some areas it's not near as bad as other areas. But you go into areas like where we're at and where Cody's at, and it literally is in your face. And you can see in the eyes and the body language of many people, not all of them, obviously, but especially the poor and the lower IQ, especially of the blacks and the browns, down here anyway, you can see the contempt. And you got to remember, they're being propagandized that you and I are white devils. That's what they're being told. Okay, we're the white devils that are responsible for their diseases, their poverty, their crime. The Jews doing to America exactly what they did to the Russians 100 years ago, over 100 years ago. It's the same thing. They're demonizing the target. Remember, that's what the Jew always does. He demonizes who he's going after, so that the stupid people, when they see people kicking the door down, people dragged out, charges against them, they'll go back to sleep because they've already demonized them, and they're going to go, well, they deserved it. That's what the purpose of the cop shows were, remember? I remember when cop shows first started coming out, I go, what the hell's going on? What's the deal with all these damn cop shows? Well, because the people had to be conditioned that cops are always good guys. Always. If they're kicking your door down, dragging you out of a car, beating you, or shooting you, well, you must have deserved it.
Yeah.
That's what the cop shows tell you.
Yeah.
And now the average person thinks that. Cops are violating constitutional rights every single day all over America. And the dumbass American sits back going, well, you know, I watched on CIS Blue Brotherhood, whatever the one that Tom Selleck was in. Cop show after cop show after cop show. It's always the same thing. Well, you know, we have a constitution that says to do this, but we're after bad guys, and if we did that, the bad guys will get away. That's the theme of every cop show.
Yeah.
So we're going to be the white knights, and we're going to go in there and take a chance of getting punished for violating rights, but by God, we're going to get that damn drug dealer or that white supremacist or whatever. So we're going to do that. And the idiot sits there with his popcorn and his beer going, yeah, go, man, go get them nasty guys. They don't realize that the day's coming when it's going to be your door, you beer-drinking moron. It'll be your door because they've already rounded the rest of us up. So now you're the one that they're going to go after because eventually they want all, especially the men, all white men, gone.
Anyone with a freaking backbone or a set of balls, yeah, they want them gone.
Exactly. And you know what the amazing part is? They've said this. I'm not making this stuff up. It's not like I'm some kind of genius or a psychological prophet. They say it openly if you're paying attention. There's rabbis. There's male and female professors in different colleges. There's male and female Jews over in Europe giving public speeches talking about the very thing we're talking about here. Openly. And yet the average lemming in America is still sound asleep. Now, the good news is a lot of these lemmings are waking up. Will it be enough to make a difference? Only time will tell that. But it's just amazing to me how these communist pigs can be so upfront with their intentions, and we don't have revolution yet. I don't understand it.
It's because you got beer in the fridge, you're comfortable, you got your sports on the TV. They don't give a freaking rat's ass. They don't care. They're comfortable. That's what's going on. They're comfortable. They need someone to freaking kick them in the ass and say, listen, this shit's not going to go on anymore. That's what it is. Plain and simple. They're comfortable. Like I said before.
Well, they're comfortable slaves. That's how my buddy used to call it. Oh, Ella says it's Magnum PI. That was that Tom Selleck show. But there was another one he was in, too. Had to do with cops. Something Blue. I can't remember what that one was. That was a different show.
You're talking about Blue Bloods, but not for nothing, but he's a flaming faggot, too, just so you know.
Well, yeah, that's beside the point. But you're right. Blue Bloods, yeah. But the point of it is a proliferation of propaganda with Jew Hollywood putting out all these different TV shows and just propagandizing the people. But if you're paying attention, if you look at who they're aiming their propaganda against, that will tell you who their next target is. So that's how come we know that Cody and me and Charles and John and Henry, we're all part of the crowd that's got a great big target on us. The question I ask most of the people I know is, what are you going to do when we're gone?
Well, there's another pathway, if I might, Dan. Maybe we're not going to be gone. Maybe we're going to get organized with our own American National Common Law Court, and we're going to organize militia and peace officers, and we're going to arrest the people at the top of the evil empire pyramid and throw their ass in jail. Maybe they're going to be gone and not us.
Well, that's certainly, that's why we're doing what we're doing. We're trying to awaken our brethren so that enough of them wake up that we can make a difference.
Right on, brother. Thank you.
That's why I like that one quote that I can't remember who said it, but it was during the 1700s here in America. And they said, if it was not for the pen of common sense, which was, I can't remember who wrote Common Sense, Thomas Paine.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for the pen of common sense or Thomas Paine, the sword of Washington would have been raised in vain. So it's basically saying if Thomas Paine and all the other patriots that for decades were writing the Liberty letters and Liberty proclamations that they put on Liberty trees and the local taverns and at the group gatherings around the Liberty trees and the preachers preaching Liberty. If it weren't for what those guys did, when George Washington and the militia finally rose up, they would have rose up in vain because England would have squashed them. But by decades of them setting brush fires in the people's minds, when George Washington and the militia finally did stand up, then there was a large let's put it this way, a large enough, it may not be the majority, but a large enough people knew what was going on that they supported them, and they eventually were successful. So, but there's a lot of stuff going on right now. But like Melissa was saying, you know, those of us who know the Father and know what we're here for and all, it's not a case where this is petrifying, or it's, what do they call that, where fear basically immobilizes you. We're not advocating that or even saying that that's affecting any of our people, but it's what we're trying to do to get the normies to wake up. We already know what's going on. That's why my weaponry, my ammunition's at the ready all the time, every day, 24 hours a day. Has been for a long time. I've seen the handwriting on the wall way too long to not have it ready. So as more and more people get to that point, then we'll be ready for George Washington or his equivalent to take a step up, and then things will get very interesting in this country. So Ralph says he got knocked off. So yeah, the computer in the last couple of days has been doing some strange things. I don't know if it's internet related. I don't know if it's the weather. Just some really kind of like strange things the electronics has been doing, even the phone. So, you know, be on the lookout for that kind of stuff. Floor is open. I yield.
Thank you, Dan. Can I raise an issue that's probably a little bit controversial? I've got some views that I think might be a little bit different than some of the group members here, and I thought I saw some text from Ella recently that kind of supported my views, I thought. I thought I saw Ella saying that the enemy class that we're really faced with, it's not really technically proper to refer to them as Jews, because I thought I saw Ella say that the word Jew is actually a good word related to the tribe of Judah, and we should not be using that in a derogatory manner. And that seems to me to be supported by Revelation 2:9 and 3:9. First of all, I'd like to open it by asking Ella, am I misinterpreting you, Ella, or was that, were you actually saying something in your text there about the proper use of the word Jew there? Are you there, Ella?
Yeah, I just unmuted myself. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, the only ones that should be referred to as Jews are the Babylon Pharisees. Jews don't belong in the Bible at all, not from page one through the last page of Revelation. They are bad. And the tribe of Judah has nothing to do with Jews. There's 12, actually 13 tribes of Israel, including Manasseh and Ephraim. That's Joseph's. But the Jews are not in there anywhere. The people of Judah, the house of Israel and the house of Judah, there is not one Jew in either house. They just put that there to fool us and confuse us. But the Jews are bad people. The people of Judah are from the tribe of Judah, some bad, some good. If you read in Jeremiah about the good figs and the bad figs, those are the good Israelites and the bad Israelites. And most of the world thinks that those are bad Jews and good Jews. And it's not. The word Jew is not in the Bible. And I never would have said that Judah and the Jews are good people. Because it's an oxymoron. It doesn't go together. Like Messianic Jew doesn't go together. It's impossible to be a Messianic Jew. I yield.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a whole, almost could be a topic for an entire session. where the word Jew comes from, how it got into our vocabulary, how long has it been here? It's only been around for about 200 years.
The letter J. That was added to the whole English language just 200 or 300 years ago, right?
Right. There's nothing in English that's been written for prior to about 200 years ago. There is nothing in the English language from the Middle Ages and back that has the word Jew in it. The closest was William Shakespeare, and he used the term, we call it Ewe, E-W-E, but actually that was pronounced U, like in lambs, a U. And if you think about it, you and Jew, very, very close together. So you could, but see the people, today, the IQ level on the average person today can't even begin to get into a discussion on the etymology of words, and be able to tread water and keep their head up. I mean, they can't understand the simplest concepts today. So if you're sitting there and you're trying to explain to them how the word Jew even got into our vocabulary, their eyes start to cross and they're lost. You can see it. The lights go out. You know, nobody's home. Mm-hmm. But that is the fact. The word Jew, and I've told people that for years, cross that word out. No matter what you're reading, if that word is in there, it's a made-up word, and you have to go back to the original language that it was translated from to figure out what the word should have been.
Well, if I might, Dan, then how come we're referring to these devil worshippers as Jews if it's not a legitimate word to even use?
Because they use it. So we're doing to them what they do to us, just like the word Nazi. They've triggered it. They've made it a political weapon.
Well,
and so they refer to themselves as Jews. And so, okay, well then, yeah, well, I'll identify you as the sons of Satan.
But they're defining it differently than we define it.
Well, it depends on who you're talking about. What do you say they defined it? How do they define it?
They define it as the equivalent of Israelite. That's how they run their whole nation of Israel over there. That's not a real Israelite nation. It's not Torah obedient. It's not sons of Abraham. It's a bunch of Ashkenazis. They got no bloodline. They got no loyalty to the Torah laws of Israel. And they're fake from the word go. But they're using the words of God. Zion is also a good righteous word in the Bible. Israel is a good righteous word out of the Bible. And I think, according to their definition, the word Jew is also a good righteous word. And I don't like quibbling about whether or not the word Jew is a good word or a bad word. I like talking about they are liars, they are deceivers, they are not entitled to claim any color of legitimacy in God's kingdom of Israel on this earth. And we need to cut them off before they even start arguing that. When they start claiming to be Jews, we shouldn't agree, yeah, you're dirty, nasty Jews. We should say, no, screw you. You're not a Jew. You're not an Israelite. You're not a Zionist. You're a blood-drinking devil worshiper from the pit of hell, and you got no place in God's kingdom whatsoever.
Just call him a kike instead.
Pardon me?
Call him a kike instead, then.
That would be a better term than the word Jew. That would be real clear.
There you go. To call him kikes, then. Plain and simple.
Yeah, Charles, don't hold back. Tell us what you're really thinking.
Really, let's do this next time. Quit holding it back like that. Thank you.
Yeah. It's I think Curtis had something there. He had his hand up in the queue.
Yes, I just wanted to add that one thing that confounds me about the JQ question is, how could a hater so bad and be so intelligent? Their IQ is so high and they could do such great good things for the world, and they just use their IQ to just hate, and a lot of us are perplexed by how could somebody that could do so much good be so hateful. I agree with Dan's idea about the idea of just using codes, because they're an honest conversation with somebody that diabolical and hateful, it's just something I can't wrap my mind around. They get me every time. I just can't believe somebody could just be so hateful. That's not what I had to say. That's it.
Are they smart or are they cunning?
Well, I would say I can't wrap my mind around if they're cunning or smart, but it's just some people have such high IQs that an honest conversation just not possible. You got to use codes and just stay out of the way of trouble. They're just too hateful and smart at the same time.
Well, they say common sense gets you a long way.
Yeah.
Well, the words in the Greek language when Yahshua was talking about these Edomites, these devils, that word actually translates to cunning. They are very cunning. They are not all that smart. And I'm going to go by the works of Joe Cortina, Francis Farrell, General Ben Parton, and many, many others that have been stationed in the Middle East and been around these people. I've worked with them as well. Not the sharpest tool in the shed, I'm going to tell you. They are greatly overrated about their IQ, greatly overrated. It's no different than telling me Albert Einstein was brilliant. The guy was a freaking moron, 100% certified moron. And he worked as a clerk in the patent office. Now, how smart do you have to be a clerk in a patent office? So where do you think he got his ideas? He stole them from our people in the patent office, and then the Jew media gave him credit for it. That was his reward for stealing our intellectual property and giving it to these damn Jews. That's the kind of crap that's going on here. So no, they're not smart. They're cunning. They're wicked. They're deceivers, exactly as Christ Jesus said, Yahshua. All right, but no, they are not smart. Number one, if they were that smart, they wouldn't need us. There'd be no need to steal all of our ideas and our technology if they were smart. They're not smart. They could do all the creating on their own. They do not have the ability to create. They are not smart. They are cunning. They are evil. They're monsters in shoe leather. And they've been that way for millennia. So anybody thinking that all of a sudden now today in the modern age, because we want to be soft-headed and soft-hearted and say there's really good Jews out there, they're very smart and everything else, I beg to differ. I'm going to differ, okay? Sorry, I'm throwing the bullshit flag on that one. No, they're not. So we don't need to build them up at all. In fact, I'm very quick to tell people that you're not dealing with smart people. You're dealing with cunning criminals who will literally do anything to get what they want. You see these TV shows, the cop shows, and the drama series about organized crime and the terrible, horrific things that they'll do? That's the Jew right there. That's the Edomite, Sodomite Jew. Using their own terms, as Charles would say, these Canaanite creatures that have come down to infest this world and be thorns in our side. The Bible calls them thorns in our side. That's exactly what they are. The good people of this world are never a thorn. I don't get any thorns in my side from anybody else. Everything that causes me grief in my life was invented by a Jew. Or the people calling themselves Jews today, anyway, these Edomites, these Khazars. All right. Every single thing that irritates me, whether it's the IRS, the sales tax, the poor quality of food, education that sucks, you name it, every single thing is the creation of some sodomite, Edomite Jew. Every time. Every time. So, anything else? We got about an hour and a half in, so it's usually about when we cut it off unless people have a whole lot more they want to talk about.
How are you for that?
For what, Curtis?
For getting me straight on this cunning. This definitely is cunning. It's cunning criminals.
Yeah, they are cunning. Don't put them on a pedestal. They don't deserve to be there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very good. Very good. Okay, Melissa, are you up for a closing prayer, or you want me to do it?
Dan, why don't you close us with a prayer?
Okay, I shall do that. Everybody ready? Let me just look real quick, make sure I didn't miss something in the chat box. I don't see anything there. All right, very good. Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, glory, and honor, and we thank you for this chance to come together as your children here on this earth, struggling through the time of Jacob's trouble. We see turmoil and rough seas all around us, but we're in the boat, ark, if you will. We know that you're with us, and we don't need to be too concerned about the storm. But the people out there with no life jacket and no boat, as the water's rising, they're in serious trouble. So we just pray that you would continue to lift us up and pour out your spirit on us. Give us good discernment, give us courage, and give us that lighthearted laughter of Jacob Israel that we've been known for. Even in the times of distress, we've been known as the children of laughter. We can find something to laugh about and smile about no matter what's going on around us, because we know we're the good guys. We know that we're doing your work here on this earth. And these are our time of trouble, and we know that there is an end coming, and probably pretty soon. And we just pray for that day. We pray for your return to sit upon the throne, and that this world becomes your paradise once again, living under your laws, not the laws of wicked men. To that end, we again ask for your blessing and for your help. Forgive us our sins and shortcomings, and protect us from our enemies. We ask this in Yahweh's name. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.